and welcome to this Lighthouse Church podcast, where you can catch up on our talks from Sunday gatherings. We're a church at East Lothian, seeking to follow Jesus, build community, and make a difference.
So we're starting a new teaching series today, which I'm quite excited about. I know I say that every time, but I just get excited about the Bible, guys, okay? Don't hate me for that. So we're starting a new teaching series today, working through the book of James. Hooray. I'm calling it Wisdom. Thank you, Morag, for that little whoop. I'm calling it Wisdom for Real Life, and that's going to take us all the way through to the summer holidays. So we're going to take a wee break for Easter, but we're going to be primarily just based in this book, reading it through. What does James have to say about wisdom for real life living? And if you have read James before, you will know that we are in for a complete treat in the next few months. James is a book of the Bible written by a guy called James. He was Jesus' half-brother, and it's what you might call a punch in the gut, okay? If this book of the Bible was, if it was going to be a fighter, James was Muhammad Ali, basically. That's what I'm saying. You know, he's serious. He doesn't mince his words. This is wisdom for real life living, where the rubber hits the road and we're honest about the real stuff. And so James says that following Jesus is not about what we've got up here. It's not about having it all sorted out up here, but actually living it out, actually walking it out. So I'm just preparing you because we're going to tackle some things head on, because that's what James does. Common responses to the book of James, I looked this up this week, are whoa, ouch, and my personal favourite, dang. So if you want to say that at any point during this sermon, then feel free. Just be like, okay, ouch. But if we want to become wise, does anyone want to become wise? Yeah. Does anyone want to follow Jesus with wisdom? Yeah, I 100% do, and know that I have a lot to grow in that. If we want to follow Jesus with integrity, anyone want to do that? Wholeheartedly, loving God and loving people, then we do well to listen to the words of this book. And so because this book is so straight up challenging, we're going to end each week with a takeaway. Okay, so you're going to have like a takeaway challenge each week that I hope will help. So did someone say it sounds like homework? Tina, I'll be giving out points. So prepare yourself. Excellent. Okay, so this morning, what we're going to try and do together is we're going to try and cover the whole of chapter one, okay? And then from here, we're going to go quite slowly through little bits of each chapter. So we're going to pick up today in chapter one is basically like the introduction to the book, and it covers all the themes that we're going to cover. So it's going to be a bit of a whistle-stop tour this morning. And I'm going to read to you the whole of chapter one just now from the Message translation. I know a lot of you have an NIV Bible and you bring that with you, but I find sometimes it's really helpful to read scripture in a different translation because it almost sort of like jolts us out of our familiarity and helps us to listen for the thing that God might want to say to us. So does that sound okay? So it's quite a long passage. And we're going to take our time to chew over it this morning. So James chapter 1. I, James, am a slave of God and the Master Jesus, writing to the 12 tribes scattered to kingdom come. Hello. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. If you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get his help and won't be condescended to when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believingly, without a second thought. People who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the Master that way, adrift at sea, keeping all your options open. When down and outers get a break, cheer. And when the arrogant rich are brought down to size, cheer. Prosperity is as short-lived as a wildflower, so don't ever count on it. You know that as soon as the sun rises, pouring down its scorching heat, the flower withers. Its petals wilt, and before you know it, that beautiful face is a barren stem. Well, that's a picture of the prosperous life. At the very moment everyone is looking on in admiration, it fades away to nothing. Anyone who meets a testing challenge head on and manages to stick it out is mighty fortunate. For such persons loyally in love with God, the reward is life and more life. Don't let anyone under pressure to give in to evil say, God is trying to trip me up. God is impervious to evil and puts evil in no one's way. The temptation to give in to evil comes from us and only us. We have no one to blame but the leering, seducing flare-up of our own lust. Lust gets pregnant and has a baby. Sin. Sin grows up to adulthood and becomes a real killer. So, my very dear friends, don't get thrown off course. Every desirable and beneficial gift comes out of heaven. The gifts are rivers of light cascading down from the Father of light. There is nothing deceitful in God, nothing two-faced, nothing fickle. He brought us to life using the true word, showing us off as the crown of all his creatures. Post this at all the intersections, dear friends. Lead with your ears, follow up with your tongue, and let anger straggle along in the rear. God's righteousness doesn't grow from human anger. So throw all spoiled virtue and cancerous evil in the garbage. In simple humility, let our gardener God landscape you with the word, making a salvation garden out of your life. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in the mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea what they are, what they look like. But whoever catches a glimpse of the revealed counsel of God, the free life, even out of the corner of his eye, and sticks with it, is no distracted scatterbrain, but a man or woman of action. That person will find delight and affirmation in the action. Anyone who sets himself up as religious by talking a good game is self-deceived. This kind of religion is hot air, and only hot air. Real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this: reach out to the homeless and loveless in their plight, and guard against corruption from the godless world. Amen. Anyone want to say, whoa, ouch, or dang? Possibly. So, should we just stop and pray as we come under God's word this morning? Yeah, Lord, we thank you. Thank you that you've given us wisdom in this book of scripture. Thank you for your brother James. Thank you that he knew you, but he was so humble to begin this letter by saying, I, James, a slave of the Master Jesus. And would you come and teach us and shape us as we work through this chapter this morning, we pray. We say that we want to hear from you and not just hear and it go in one ear and out the other, but we want to actually do what your word says. Come and help us, we pray. Amen. Amen. So, James starts with a let's be honest, it's a bit brutal, isn't it? This assessment of following Jesus. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind or many kinds. That's from the NIV. So some of you will know that, and perhaps it's been sort of quoted at you in moments of struggle. Joy in trials? That doesn't feel like, James, what are you on about? That sounds a bit ridiculous. I don't know about you, but that is often not my initial reaction when I stub my toe. I'm like, stub my toe. Oh, wonderful. Joy. I'm so happy about this situation. Anyone else? Yeah, we're a little bit like that, Kevin. Yeah. But James is setting up this equation that we know is true. Following Jesus is not easy. It's hard. And life also can be hard sometimes, can't it? And James is writing specifically to people who lived through famine, through poverty, through persecution. I'll come to that in a minute. And perhaps some of us can relate to those things. I don't think we've faced the kind of persecution that the early church faced in any way. Being taken to jail, being killed, being evicted, losing your family home or your family livelihood. But many of us know what it is to live with lack, don't we? To be hungry. In our community, we see many families facing struggles and hardship. When we open up and run our community pantry through the week, you know, there are folk who come in. Emily was speaking to someone this week who shared that they had a choice between paying their bills or buying food, and so they paid the bills and they hadn't eaten. That's the reality that many people in our community are living with. Across East Lothian, there are many hardships that people carry day in, day out. Difficult things, heavy burdens that weigh them down. And following Jesus in the middle of life already being hard is hard, isn't it? It's difficult. And James sets up this kind of equation here which kind of catches us out, because the world says to us, you know, if you've got a difficult situation, you're walking through life, then that's bad, yeah? Obviously something has gone wrong here. But James seems to suggest in this passage that if you've got difficult things going on in your life and you're with Jesus, in some way the equation equals good. And I'm a bit like, what? Or maybe that's just me. No, I think a lot of us are like, how does that work out? What kind of funky maths are you teaching here, James? What's going on here? Consider it a sheer gift, friends. I think that's on the next slide, Jane, if you want to go on. When tests and challenges come at you from all sides, you know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colours. Don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. Consider it a sheer gift. Just let that sink in for a minute, yeah? Just think about something difficult. Consider it a sheer gift. Actually, it sort of upsets us a little bit, doesn't it? Like, who do you think you are? Do you even know what's going on for me? It's a complete 180 on what our culture says, isn't it? Even perhaps what our family and friends might say to us. If something is hard, then it's wrong, so quit now, you know. Don't keep going. But in contrast, James says that a Jesus type of wisdom is to keep going, that thriving happens through testing. That's just not something that's in our kind of cultural vocabulary, is it? Nobody around us is going to say that. Keep going when life gets hard. And I think I have shared this illustration before, if you want to just go on a couple of slides, Jane. So, yeah, the trees, that's perfect. Thank you. I think I've shared this illustration before, but there was this experiment that a lot of scientists did in the US. It was called Biosphere 2, and it was an artificial enclosed ecosystem in Arizona. And they created this perfect growing environment for trees. rich soil, controlled temperature, no exposure to strong winds. And the trees grew really quickly, and the scientists were like, we've done it. This is amazing. Everything's great. But in time, they became weak and they fell over before reaching full maturity. And why? Because they lacked wind. And so there was something about the wind that caused the trees to develop what they call stress wood, which strengthens their roots and their trunk. And without this resistance, without this wind, without this pressure, without this trial, the trees couldn't support their own weight and they fell. And that's quite a powerful metaphor, I think, for what's going on in this passage from James. There is something, James is saying, about trials that can make us stronger, that strengthens our root system in God, that builds our trunks to be firm and strong and resilient. Just like trees need the wind to grow resilience, we need challenges to develop perseverance, maturity, and faith. I really believe that those who follow Jesus are not just supposed to survive. You know, we're not just here kind of making it through until Jesus comes and takes us home. I really actually don't believe that. People who follow Jesus are designed to thrive, to live a good life, to share Jesus and his kingdom. And there is something about thriving, James says here in this passage, that only happens through trials and through challenge. That verse 4, what the NIV translates as, so that you become mature and complete. Some translations have that word as perfect. Now, I recently went to see Mary Poppins, the musical. It was a Christmas gift to us as a family at the Festival Theatre, and it was literally incredible. I don't know if any of you have been to see it, but it was amazing. I mean, there was like sort of tap dancing on the ceiling. Like, I don't even know how they make these things possible. But if you, a lot of you will remember Mary Poppins, right? Give me a wave if you know Mary Poppins. Mary Poppins is practically in every way. Thank you, Donna. She is practically perfect in every way. And she gets out that measuring tape, doesn't she? And she measures them up. And I can't remember what it measures the two children and they're, you know, found wanting. But Mary Poppins, practically perfect in every way. And that word perfect, we can kind of think, well, that is completely unattainable. How would we even begin to be perfect, let alone perfect like Mary Poppins? But the word perfect in the Greek here is this word teleos, means wholeness or integrity. That's the kind of the thrust of what that word really means. So when James says so that you might become mature and perfect, there is something that he's saying happens to you when you walk through difficult things that means you have a chance to become more and more unfractured, more and more complete. Is that making sense? Yeah. More and more the whole person that God had in mind when he made you. And circumstances and life experiences and things that have happened to you might have come along and fractured the person that you are. But when you're walking with Jesus through trial and challenge and he comes to help you and he sends his spirit to live on the inside of you, there is something about God's healing work that he gets to do in you in that moment. And I don't know about you, but I find that remarkably encouraging. Anyone else? Yeah? It's like God is on the case. Yeah. Difficult circumstances can surface brokenness in us that God is then able to heal so that you might become mature and complete. So keep going when life gets hard. That's my first encouragement to you. Keep going when things get hard. If you just go back to that slide you did have up, Jane, I have a wee question for you all. It was point three, that one. What trials are you facing right now, and how might God be using them to grow your faith? I told you it was going to get challenging, okay? So we're just going to go straight in there. What trials are you facing right now, and how might God be using them to grow your faith? Not to undermine it, but actually to grow it. And we'll come back to that question, because at the end, I'm actually going to get you guys to do a bit of work thinking about what we're going to do with this scripture passage. So we'll come back to that question. So, next point. You're finding something hard. Apart from just getting on with it and keeping going, what are we supposed to do? James says that we're supposed to ask God for wisdom and trust him. And I just want to be clear, that's not like some kind of formula that makes everything better. It's not a magic plaster. It would be nice if it was. It's about trusting God and staying faithful in the middle of troubles. And James kind of sets up this picture of waves here. Now, we live in East Lothian, so we know all about waves, don't we? Yeah? There's even a few of us who do crazy things like go swimming in the sea. Yeah? Sheila's actually gone out with the kids, hasn't she? But she goes maybe 2 times a week into the cold ocean water. I know Katie and Chris also sometimes like doing these sorts of things. Anyone else been swimming in the sea? Yes, Jane. Possibly Stuart owning up to that. Very nice. I also quite like swimming in the sea. I think I might have told you guys before, as a community, our community, we like to go and do things outdoors. And I think it was last year, the waves were enormous and we'd gone for a walk along the beach. And Fraser and I decided that we might go for a swim. We were like, we'll just quickly go in, quickly come out. The kids were all fine. Everyone else was there. And I didn't realize until we got down to the ocean quite how large the waves were. Like, they were enormous. And I was thinking, is this really a good idea? At which point, Fraser turns to me and says, don't worry, Hannah. I used to swim competitively for the Navy SEALs. Okay. Thank you, Fraser. At which point we went in the sea and it was great. It was amazing. So, waves. We know about waves. We love waves, wild waves. And James is making this point about waves here. Verses 5 to 8. He says, people who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the master that way, adrift at sea, keeping all your options open. It's pretty strong, huh? So let's just unpack that a little bit. So waves don't come from like far out at sea and then travel inland, okay? That I used to think that that's how they work, but they don't actually work like that. I had to look it up this week, so you learn something. Every day's a school day. It's easy to think that, isn't it? Though you stand on the shore and you see the waves coming in and you're like, gosh, I wonder if that came from Barbados or something like that. But in actual fact, waves are what happen when wind takes hold of water and tide and produces this movement of a wave. And James says that the challenge of faith is not to be a wave, not to let yourself get tossed around by tide and wind. Waves are dictated by the forces around them. It's easy to think in one season where the sun is shining and the wind is lovely and the climate is warm. So in Scotland, that would be about 2 days a year. And we had one of them yesterday. So good luck, everyone, getting through the summer. That everything is great. But then we get to November and Storm Arwen decides to come and take off our roofs and things like that. And suddenly we're in a completely different situation with the waves and how huge, yeah? And that's a lot like life, isn't it? One week we can be doing great. The next week our dishwasher breaks. Donald Trump is saying things that we frankly don't agree with. And we had an argument with our spouse and the kids didn't sleep through the night. And suddenly it's just a very different situation. Yeah, two very different types of waves. Do you see what I'm trying to draw out here? And we all need wisdom in those moments. Wisdom to raise kids, wisdom to handle finances, wisdom to make decisions, wisdom to navigate relationships. And James is pretty straight about this. What he's saying about the waves is when you come to God and ask him for help. Just be straight about it. Don't let yourself get tossed around by Storm Arwen. Come straight to God and tell him what you need. And he loves to help. Don't let yourself get tossed around. There's more to you than that. You don't have to be dictated to by the forces or the circumstances around you. God's anchoring is deeper than that. There's an invitation to become more perfect, teleos, whole, complete, steadfast, mature in that, to trust God and to move forwards. So I hope that makes a bit more sense of that passage, because sometimes we can read it and think, oh, but I do doubt. I don't think it's saying you can't have questions. We chatted a bit about that in our community this week. We met to read this passage a little bit. I don't think it means that we can't have questions. Absolutely, I've got questions. We've all got questions. It's more about when we come to God in prayer, let's be honest about where we are and ask him for help. So the challenge question from that is this: do you need wisdom in a situation today? Anybody? Give me a wave. Do you need wisdom in a situation today? I think pretty much all of us, if we were honest, could say yes. Have you asked God for guidance? Actually said, God, help me. Again, we'll come back to that one. So trust God. Ask God for wisdom and trust him. Keep going when it gets hard. And then last one, go and live it out. I think that's what James says, with your words and with your actions. And that's basically verse 19, all the way through to the end of the passage. Wisdom isn't about what's up here, says James. It's about actually walking it out for the rest of the week. And he gets mega practical about what that should look like as we do the work kind of on the ground, in our marriages, in our families, in our work situations, in our churches. Wisdom for real life. And in the next few months, we're definitely going to unpack some of these a bit more, in a bit more detail. But here is a wee taster of what's to come. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Ouch. Or the Message translation of that. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but, letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Dang. It's pretty straight up. My kids will tell you that what they say to me goes in one ear and out the other. Anyone else have children that also tell them? They're like, Mom, I've told you 100 times. I'm like, guys, I actually do other things between 9 and 3 p.m. than think about what you've said to me about what you want for dinner. Like, I go to work and hold 100 million other things in my head. So forgive me that I cannot remember something that you mentioned to me 4 weeks ago in passing whilst I was driving the car and trying to do a phone call or something like that. But it is very easy to do this with faith, isn't it? For things to go in one ear and out the other. Because we also live in a culture that values information. And so we love to take in information and listen. But then do we actually do anything with what we've heard, with what we've received? And I say that as a, you know, I absolutely hear the challenge in that for me as well. I read something in the Bible, I hear something at church, and then an hour later, I suddenly realize I've made a decision or said something that implies I've completely forgotten what Jesus said about it an hour earlier. And in those moments, it's so important that we come back to Jesus and that we repent. Literally, we do a 180, we turn ourselves back again. We say, Lord, I'm sorry, you saw that. I know you saw that. Would you come and would you help me? Not just listen to your word, but do something with it. And this scripture is one of those whoa moments for me. I'm not going to become a tall tree ready to withstand the worst that Storm Arwen can throw at me simply by listening to the word or spending time with Christians, although those things will help and are important. Real faith, says James in this passage, grows when I do something with what I know of him. When I actually get out there and I start living, that's where faith takes shape. And James gets even more specific about this. verse 27, he says, religion that God our Father accepts is pure and faultless. So an outworking of wisdom in real people's lives who've asked God to help them is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. You know, James here gets really specific. He's like, just in case you thought you were off the hook, are you doing this? And in James's day, those are the people who needed the most help, widows and orphans, because socially there was nothing set up to support them. Yeah, for us today, it could be the elderly, it could be the homeless, those in recovery, struggling with addiction, those living on the breadline, the lonely, those with mental health challenges. And faith isn't about fancy words or looking religious or saying the right thing. It's about love in action for these people. And we can't dodge that. James is pretty straight about it. If you're following Jesus, this is what you should be doing with your wild and precious lives. Love in action. And this is why at Lighthouse, we really unapologetically have such a focus on making a difference. Because this is it. This is where the rubber hits the road. This is where it gets real. And so we believe that following Jesus means reaching out to those in need, caring for those who are vulnerable, moving with compassion towards the broken. It means that on Thursday, I think I put a lot of this in the email, didn't I, on Friday, which hopefully a lot of you have read. It means that on Thursday, when our building was open for the local community, we welcome about 20 adults every week who are in active recovery. And we love them when they come in and we know their names and we say hello and we find out about their week and they have some hot food and they meet up and they talk about continuing in recovery. And we honour them and we say, you're doing a great job, keep going. That's what it means. It means that when local parents come in to use the pantry, that we also honour them and we love them and we ask them about their kids, and the amazing team who are running the Lighthouse Larder make the uniform look wonderful, because we don't want it just to be kind of thrown up there looking a bit bedraggled and creased and whatever. We want it to look the best it can because their kids deserve the best. Yeah? These things matter. And I was really encouraged this week. We've had a group in from the local primary school. The teaching staff have been running some help and support for parents who would struggle with numeracy to then support their own children. So they've been running some targeted support for parents from the PANS. And they've run it over 6 weeks. And so there's been this group of local parents coming in with teachers. They've been sitting, having tea and coffee and cake and doing some learning together. And this week was the final week. It was like their celebration. And so all their children got to come in and celebrate their mums and dads and grannies and carers. And it was great. They'd made chocolate crispy cakes, which I hear were delicious. And the head teacher came in and he was having a chat with me, Mr. Wallace, Tim. He's really lovely. And he was saying, this space has made such a difference. They've also been running a group in the afternoon, but it's been in the school. And he said, the difference between the two groups is night and day. The parents who were part of the group that met in here at the beginning of the 6 weeks felt isolated, felt lonely, didn't really have any friends, were very underconfident. And they're now wrapping up this week, ready to come back next week, just as a group of parents together to continue to support each other. And Mr. Wallace was just thanking us so much. I wanted to pass it on because this is, it's not on me. It's like, it's all of us, isn't it? All of us in this together. And I was able to say to him, do you know, Tim, this is exactly what the church should be doing in supporting local parents and sharing with them the hope of the gospel. What an opportunity to be able to say that to a head teacher. This is exactly where the church should be, serving the local community, because that's what Jesus would have us do. And to be really open about that, I was delighted to have that opportunity. Making a difference, because it's about our actions. It's about love in action. And just before you think you've got off the hook, it's not just about your actions, it's also about your words. So as I wrap up, just very quickly, words are a very big theme for James. We're going to come back to that, the way that we talk, a couple of times actually. our words really matter. Verse 19 and 20, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. My goodness, I wonder if a few of our politicians took that to heart, things might look slightly different. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. And I was just thinking, you know, the inference there is if you have a problem with anger, you probably have a problem with listening from reading this passage. So what we see here is that stopping to listen and slowing down our speaking short circuits anger in us, if that's a challenge for us. For some of us, anger is more of a challenge. Stopping to listen, slowing down your speaking might help. So the challenge, I said there'd be a few challenges. If you just go back a slide, Jane. What's one way you can put faith into action this week? Could think of something practical that you're actually going to do, put boots on the ground. How are you going to live it out? What's one way you can put faith into action this week? So in conclusion, next slide, we have talked about chapter 1 of James says, keep going even when life is hard. Keep going, persevere. Ask God for wisdom and trust him. He wants to help us. And go and live it out. Faith is love in action. So I'm going to pray, and then we're actually going to do something a little bit different. We're just going to break into a few little groups where we are and talk through those three questions, because this is kind of real, isn't it? And we can encourage each other as God's family together. How are you doing with this? And maybe if someone shares something with you, you might text them in the week and say, how are you getting on with that? Or next week, you could ask them, how did that go? Yeah? Does that sound okay? Muted enthusiasm. We're going to do it anyway. So, okay, let me pray for us, and then Jane will put the questions up on the slide.